Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is Tuesday. Great podcast for you. We're going to talk a little bit about Kate Smith and why she is being targeted. I mean, she's dead, for the love of Pete. Nobody knew her racist, quote, racist song, end quote. I put it in quotation marks for a reason. You'll find out here in just a second. Also, Greg Abbott, the greatest governor in America. He is the governor of the state of Texas. I was impressed when we talked to him about the new DA in Dallas that said, if you steal stuff that's only worth $750,000 or less, or I'm sorry, $750 or less, we're not going to prosecute you. Unless you were doing it to make money. If you really needed it, no prosecution. Oh, you're going to love my governor as much as I do when you hear his opening salvo. When I said, hello, governor. Wait, it's coming up on the podcast. Also, was Jesus a Jew? Not according to the New York Times. He was a Palestinian. Really? And Bernie on taxes and Jews. You know, they're all racist over there. That's a racist government. You're going to learn a lot on today's show.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Do you know that there's a bust of Che glaring at a hillside in Bolivia? There is a statue of Lucifer in Madrid, Spain, and another one in Belgium. There are statues of Karl Marx, Stalin, Lenin all over the world, including a statue of Lenin in Seattle. Same goes for Mao. There's a statue of Satan in Detroit. That's great. Hey, kids, it's not oppressing you. It's just a statue of Satan. Just outside a former ghetto in Warsaw, there's a statue of Hitler kneeling in prayer. There's a monument to a fascist soldier in Chicago that was gifted by Italian fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. It's adored. A large statue of a naked man standing on a naked woman in a cemetery in Brooklyn. There's a statue of a policewoman urinating in Dresden, Germany. And, of course, there's mannequin piss, the statue in Brussels of, you know, the little kid peeing in the pond, which is kind of cute because they dress him up as different things depending on the time of the year. And I'm sorry, that's horrible. It's a horrible statue, and it's been oppressing me. And I wake up in night terrors thinking, mannequin piss! But there are a lot of things we have to worry about today. Statues are not, that's not all. This is an actual list that we compiled for you today of the things that have been branded racist just in the last 2 years in America. Dogs and dog walking. 911 calls. TSA body scanners. Classical literature, and philosophy. Do I even need to say this one? Milk. Knitting. Being cheerful. Not being cheerful. Friendliness. Not being friendly enough. Libraries. Clowns. The Avengers. Diets. Infant mortality rates. The one that comes from none other than Kamala. How do you say her name?
Kamala
Harris.
You should know that.
That one, she comes and she says infant mortality rates. She tweeted that implicit racial bias is one critical reason that maternal mortality rates for black women is 3 or 4 times higher than white women. She blamed maternal mortality rates on, of course, racism. Mm. So, but also there's makeup, personal space is very, very racist. Vikings. Potatoes. Inclusion. Burger King commercials. The okie dokie hand sign. The rainbows, compliments, childbirth, houseplants, nail polish, bacon. Yes, bacon. Trying to improve racial tensions. Not focusing constantly on racial tensions. Mentioning racial tensions. Existence. If you're white. Now, I would like to just be the first to add, this monologue will soon be called racist, I'm sure. There is an incredible amount of overlap between statues and perceived racism. I don't have to give you any examples because you know exactly what I'm talking about. By the way, more statues of Christopher Columbus are coming down. It was celebrated yesterday that two more states are replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. There's Columbus, there's Thomas Jefferson, there's Francis Scott Key, Abraham Lincoln, of all people, Joan of Arc, and many, many others. Now, the most recent example is as unexpected as the whole walking your dog is racist. But here's the thing on the latest outcry. They had to work really hard for this one, except in doing any kind of research. The controversy centers on the statue of Kate Smith, a singer who was once called the Songbird of the South. She gained fame in the 1940s for God Bless America, which I think is a progressive nightmare, but that's a different story. Smith's achievements are a little awe-inspiring. She performed for King George and Queen Elizabeth. She performed at the White House right before World War II. Ronald Reagan bestowed her with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She was credited on helping defeat the Nazis thanks to an 18-hour broadcast in which she helped CBS raise over $100 million in war bonds. Think of that. This is back in the 1940s. $100 million because of her 18-hour broadcast.
And that was just one broadcast. Yeah. She did, I think the total was $600 million.
I mean,
which is, if you, today's dollars is over $10 billion.
Think of that.
For World War II.
Think of that.
Think of that.
She helped us defeat the Nazis. For decades, both the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers played her version of God Bless America at home games. The Yankees featured it in the seventh inning since 9/11. Flyers even had a statue of Smith outside their stadium. She'd become the team's good luck charm after she performed God Bless America before Game 6 of the 74 Stanley Cup Finals, and the Flyers won. But this month, all of that has changed. Now she's a racist. We shouldn't even mention her. There shouldn't be a statue. She needs to be canceled. She needs to be forgotten. She needs to be smeared and destroyed. Here's what the statement reads. The Flyers have enjoyed a long and popular relationship with God Bless America as performed by the late Kate Smith. But in recent days, we learned that several of the songs Kate Smith performed in the 1930s included lyrics and sentiments that are incompatible with the values of our organization and evoke painful and unacceptable themes. The songs, now, I want you to know, you're going to be offended by the lyrics and the songs, but hang on. The song, That's Why Darkies Are Born. There's not a lot of room on that one. And Pickaninny Heaven. Not a lot of room there either. Pickaninny, in case you don't know, is an archaic derogatory word to describe black children. She performed this song in a movie in 1933. In the scene, she devoted the song to a lot of little colored children living in the orphanage. And she sang about watermelons, and it's clearly a racist song, okay? She's under contract in a movie that she didn't write. But she performed it, okay. But let's look at the really disturbing one. That's Why Darkies Were Born. I don't even want to say the lyrics on the air because they will be taken out of context and used to smear me. I'll let Kate sing it for herself. Here it is.
Someone had picked cotton. Someone had a plant of corn. Someone had a slave and be able to.
Holy cow, that's bad.
Someone had a laugh at trouble. tired and worn, had to be contented with any old thing. That's why donkeys were born.
Okay, so you listen to that and you're like, what is this, the Klan meeting? How is this possibly, how is this even acceptable? Listen to the lyrics. That's why they were born? Because somebody just had to be content with any old thing? Somebody had to be tired and worn and laugh at trouble? Had to plant the corn, pick the cotton? That's why people were born? Are you kidding me? How could you possibly record that? Well, if we would like to live in the world of ignorance, if we would like to live in a world where nobody does any critical thinking, you just jump to whatever conclusion suits your agenda. And that's really important. I'm going to come back to that. Well, then you can just be pissed off at Kate Smith. Or you can understand that that is a song from a 1931 Broadway review called George White's Scandals. And it was a satire of white supremacists. She actually wrote this song along with Paul Robeson. He was an actor and a civil rights activist. His father was literally a runaway slave. So what happened? What happened? Oh, this was a song that civil rights activists were actually singing to mock racists. You know, if we get rid of Kate Smith because of this, may I suggest we put Mel Brooks on the chopping block? Have you heard the song he sang? Because he sang about the Inquisition. I don't know. Did you hear that? I'll play it for you in a minute, but he's also done a movie where he's treating black people. It's crazy, called Blazing Saddles. Here's the Inquisition, his song.
Let's begin
the Inquisition.
Look out, sin.
We have a mission to convert the Jews.
Oh my God.
We're gonna teach them
wrong from right.
We're gonna help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That the Jews just can't refuse.
Confess.
How was this made? How could anybody do this? The Inquisition, we're going to convert the Jews?
It's better to lose your skull cap than your skull.
Oh my gosh. I need to take a break. I'm so offended.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
The town hall last night.
Exciting, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great.
Oh, man. If they could have done all of the candidates, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
You can barely get through any of these things. When did criminal voting become such a big deal in the Democrat Party?
Because they have to have every single vote.
Right. And because they know criminals are going to vote for Democrats.
Now, listen to this question that we have from the town hall last night about prison voting. And listen to the way the question is asked of Bernie Sanders. And tell me if Fox News would have asked this question exactly the same way if they wouldn't have been called racist and Islamophobes. Listen.
My follow-up question goes to this being like you're writing an opposition ad against you by saying you think the Boston Marathon bomber should vote not after he pays his debt to society, but while he's in jail. You sure about that?
Well, Chris, I think I have written many 30-second opposition ads throughout my life. this will be just another one. But I do believe, look, you know, this is what I believe. Do you believe in democracy? Do you believe that every single American 18 years of age or older who's an American citizen has the right to vote? Once you start chipping away at that, believe me, that's what our Republican governors all over this country are doing. They come up with all kinds of excuses why people of color, young people, poor people can't vote.
Stop.
And I will. So, no, they're not.
No, 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 they're not. You're printing up, I want 16-year-olds to vote.
Yeah.
No, no, you're just printing up new things. Well, if 16, how come a 12-year-old can't vote?
And Republican governors are actually asking people to bring their ID to the poll with them so we can verify that it's you.
And
I mean, that's
you have to do that
as hateful as you can get.
You have to do that when you pick up prescriptions.
Right.
You have to do that when, what, are druggists, are pharmacists, are they racist? Because you can't get up a prescription without your ID. So are they racist?
That's life-saving medicine. It's not just casting a vote of one of millions.
Right.
This is saving someone's life, and they have to show up with ID?
To me, it is so racist to claim that minorities can't produce an ID. They can.
They can. They do.
They do.
And by the way, you know who
and
else believes that?
And they're all for it. What was
African
it, 80%?
Yeah. So it's about 80%. It's honestly one of the most popular things in all of our discourse.
And yet the Democrats continue to get away with it, harping on it. It's amazing.
Yeah. What do you think? I am. I admit to being a little torn on this issue with Sanders was mentioning, and even with the Boston bombers, should they be able to vote while in prison?
No.
That's where I've been my whole life. But let me just minor question. I would like to hear you because you're.
Now, listen to this. Listen to this question, but understand this is Stu, who's never been. Oh, you know, he's always been. Look, we've weathered all kinds of storms. Listen to this. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't have it. I can't say the thing because I have no idea what you're wanting me to say here.
No, I want you to say what you're going to say, what you said earlier today about, you know, you've had a new look at this. Go ahead.
My new perspective on it, or at least because I feel like I'm torn on it. And I get it. I don't know what Glenn's leading to here. So I hope I don't butcher your thing here. But so the idea being that, like, if someone is in prison, and one of the issues in the campaign is about prison conditions, should the person who's being affected by those policies be able to have input in them?
Use the example that you used today. And I'm not saying that this is your, that, and maybe you were just using this for me. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But. Oh, I knew. Okay, now I know what you're saying. Yeah. So my first example was, what if they outlawed air conditioning in prison? Okay. And so it's really hot. And should you be, as a person who's affected by the policy, be able to say, wait a minute, I want a politician who's going to oppose that. Then to appeal to Glenn, I said, what if they started outlawing, they started throwing, as we've, you know, foreshadowed many times, they started throwing people with unacceptable political opinions in prison. What if you're some outrageous talk show host and you get into prison and you're now in prison for some BS thing that you shouldn't have to do? What if they started throwing Kate Smiths of the world in prison, right? Because they said these horrible things. Should you not have input to say, you know what? I don't think that candidate who is, in my belief, violating the Constitution should be able to go. A gun claim is another good one. The Second Amendment. If you get thrown in jail because they put in one of these crazy policies, should you not, while you're in prison, be able to say, I want a different politician who sees the Constitution the right way? And I think there's I think this is a largely meaningless conversation. Number one,
we're not there.
We're not there. Number two,
we will be next week.
Next week. But number two, also, like, you know, I know we get all excited about the actual, you know, meaning of a vote, and it's very, very important historically and all that. You know, the idea that you know, these are turning over elections often or is going to be unlikely. But just from a principled manner, like, I think that if you. People who would oppose those policies that put them in prison shouldn't. You could, in theory, right? Like, if you're Hitler, you could put Jews in prison who could never vote you out of office, right? And you could come up with some ridiculous way to put them in prison, and then they would have no input to overturn that way.
Yeah, that's kind of a separate topic, though, from what we're talking about here, because we're not at that place. If we got to that place, then yeah, I might think differently about it. But we're not there.
No,
and
it's
so
definitely
whether
not
or not they can vote for their own air conditioning, they lost that opportunity. You lost that right. Sorry.
Well, look, here's the thing.
You
on
screwed
that.
Up.
On the air conditioning thing, that takes a moral society.
Yeah, it does.
You know, if you're not
you
a moral...
You don't want to torture them.
Right. No, nobody
is declared unconstitutional.
Nobody
anyway,
in today's America is going to say, I don't care if they drink swill Right. Put them in a cave and let them starve. We're not like that.
Yeah.
So that one doesn't work because we still are a somewhat moral people that don't want our prisons to be nightmares.
Somewhat.
Somewhere.
Right.
Somewhat.
But I mean, that's not what principles are about. What, you know, like, you're not, you don't come up, like, we don't, there's no,
no, I
no one's going to be putting soldiers in your home, that,
no,
not, during, not during wartime, but we still have the Third Amendment, and it still stands as
correct.
A legitimate principle.
Correct. And I think the principle is that I happen to agree with. I don't agree with, once you get out of prison, that you've lost that right forever. I don't think that's right. You've paid your debt. You've paid your debt, but while you're in prison, I'm sorry, you lose your rights. You're in prison.
So there's nothing you can do serious enough that you could lose your voting rights forever?
In Bernie Sanders' world, right? Or in Glenn's world,
I don't think so, because
like molesting children, rape.
You've paid your debt. Mm-hmm. I mean, we either believe in the pay your debt or we don't. Once you've paid your debt, if your crime is so bad that you can never, ever recover from it, you should never, ever be out of jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of the argument on the Megan's Law list, right? Like, if you are a threat enough to potentially molest children that we need to tell everyone in your neighborhood about it, maybe you shouldn't
be
in the
out.
Neighborhood.
Yeah,
yes.
No. But I do think that there are things that we don't understand. We don't understand, you know, if you can ever be cured, and God forbid, in this tape will destroy me probably in maybe a year and a half. But if you can't be cured from pedophilia... Yeah, I know, it's old timey. He believed in cures for pedophilia, which is just natural.
That might not be a year and a half.
Yeah, I know.
It might be a week and a half.
I know. But we don't know. And so we don't want to take chances with our children. However, you know, the voting booth is not a schoolyard with kids in it. Now, you just hope you don't move into an area where the voting booth ends up being in the school, because then you're solved. If you've committed a crime, you know, against children,
you can't go to the school.
You can't go to the school to vote. So we got you covered.
And I think too, my general position on this forever has been, if it's part of the punishment and you do the crime and receive the punishment, you know about it in advance, right? Like, it's all publicly available that you're not going to be able to vote anymore. Probably okay and fair, but I can understand the other side of that one, because there is,
I can too.
You know, like, part of your voting right is saying, like, I think laws should be this way. And if you are on the wrong side of that law, and then there's no one there to overturn an unjust law, that could be problematic in a long-term scenario. And I don't know if the cost of having somebody vote in prison is worth that.
I would rather, the American way used to be that we err on the side of
freedom.
Of freedom. Always err on the side of freedom.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, well, yeah, but maybe these guys get out and they're going to vote for this or that. Well, yeah, maybe. But what about the guys who come out and they are truly reformed? Are we going to punish them too?
We talked to one just the other day.
Correct.
The guy who was released under Trump's second chance
law.
And he, you know, completely reformed and actually got out of prison. Then they brought him back in on some technicality. And then Trump's bipartisan law, by the way.
Here's what's crazy. Now, this is not Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders doesn't think you should ever lose that right.
Even while you're serving.
Even while you're serving. You are the Boston Marathon guy.
Kamala Harris
still be able to vote.
Basically the same.
Yeah, that's crazy. In my opinion, that's craziness. What isn't, in my opinion, is to be able to say, look, you lose it for that time period, but we either as a country believe in forgiveness and redemption or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay the price, we must let it go. We must let it go.
I think you should not put voting booths in prisons. But if they can escape prison and get to vote, that should count. That's my policy.
So don't say that out loud. Like, don't say
running
that out
man
loud
situation.
Or, I mean, George Soros will have helicopters over every prison.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Greg Abbott, you haven't gone insane yet, have you?
This is Texas. We will not allow lawlessness in the state of Texas. What is going on in Dallas County is unacceptable. It is the job of a district attorney to enforce the law. In fact, he took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the laws of the state of Texas. He is violating his oath. It's unacceptable. If he wants to change policy, he ran for the wrong job. He should have run for the legislature, where he would have failed in his policy. But let me tell you something. We are not going to allow district attorneys in the state of Texas to hijack our legal system and to promote lawlessness, to not prosecute crimes. That is insanity. We're going to send him packing to New York or some other place.
What color curtains do you like? I just love you. I love you. I saw this come out over the weekend, and if you really need it, if it's a necessity for you, $750, they can just rob you? That's insane. What do we have charities for? What do we have churches for? What do we have soup kitchens for? Well, this is nuts. What are these people thinking?
Well, listen, you know, we've got the NBA playoffs and hockey playoffs going on right now, and I need a nice big TV that I can have people over to watch the game with me, and I found one for only $700. So I'm just going to stop by and grab me a TV, not worry about paying for it, so I can be able to host a good TV watch game.
Right.
This is insanity.
We talked about this. They're making the case right now. I mean, this is socialism in a nutshell, except it's with crime. We were talking about yesterday, they're making a big deal out of having access to the internet. Well, if I have access to the internet and Wi-Fi, but I don't have a computer, as long as I steal one for $700, I'm okay.
And think of the message this sends, but put yourself in the shoes of the mom and pop grocery store or some other type of store.
Yes.
In some part of town in Dallas County somewhere where they may have people coming in saying, listen, I'm just going to take this or take that from the store owner because there's no fear whatsoever of being prosecuted. That is lawlessness by this district attorney, and I'm very, very proud of all the law enforcement agencies, both in the state of Texas as well as in Dallas County, coming out as well as I did, as well as the attorney general did. We want to send a message not just to Dallas County, but also to the entire state of Texas that this type of lawlessness is not going to be allowed, will not be allowed to be promoted, and we're going to work to shut it down.
How do the police feel about, because they're going to be the ones who a Starbucks is going to call and say, we have these guys, they come in every day and they steal muffins right off the counter. They just take them and they walk out. We can't continue to do this. How do the police, how are they expected to deal with this? Because they're going to take the brunt of the store owner or the person that's just been robbed when they say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do.
Exactly. And that's one reason why the police are so extremely angry about this, because they, too, take an oath. They, too, they risk their lives every single day where they could be shot and killed as they were gunned down in downtown Dallas a couple of years ago. They put their lives on the line to promote safety, to protect the people whose communities they patrol. And now they are being told by the prosecuting attorney in that county that these criminals may not be prosecuted. And so it ties the hands of police officers, and they are rightfully angry about this.
Governor, this is way above your pay grade, but I know you're doing something about it. I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me, or this is way below your pay grade.
Yeah,
way below your pay grade, sorry. But I want to tell you something that happened to me that I could not believe I lived in the state of Texas. My taxes went up.
Property taxes
mm-hmm. through the roof. And everybody that I know, the taxes have gone through the roof. My taxes went through the roof because I own 3.5 acres. Everybody else in my neighborhood only owns 1 acre. And even though my house is built across those 3 acres, or, you know, 2.5 of those acres, and it's a, you know, one story, the tax assessment came back that I had to pay for all 3 acres as if there was a home on all three, because I could divide my land up, as long as I tore my house down, divide my land up and be able to sell 3 houses on there. It was insane. So we wrote a letter saying, we're coming. We want to contest this. Our attorney wrote a letter. A comma was in the wrong place. We went to defend it with our attorney. Before my wife walked up, she heard the woman at the tax assessor who is sitting at this little council. She walks up and she hears the woman say, "I'm so sick of these rich people and their problems, blah, 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 blah." Then my wife is like, "Oh, dear God." So she presents it. The woman looks at her and said, "How do we know that you meant that this letter means what you say it means?" We said, "Well, because we're the ones who wrote it. Our attorneys wrote it for us. We're the ones who wrote it." And they said, "Well, but the comma here means that it could have been written about this." We're like, "No, but that was a mistake on the comma. We are fighting it for this reason. Forget the comma. We're here to testify. This is what we believe." They rejected it because the two other people looked at the woman and said, "I don't care. Whatever you decide." And of course, she decided, "No, we're not accepting this because of the comma." Governor, this is insanity. It's insanity what's happening to people with property taxes in Texas.
Well, I think it's theft by taxing authorities. And that's why we are focused this session, as we speak right now, on reforming your property tax system, doing 3 things. One is to address in part what you're talking about, and that is to rein in an out-of-control appraisal system.
Thank you.
Listen, I know this is tough on you and many of your listeners, but think about the average senior who is being driven out of their home that they may have already paid off because the property taxes are increasing so much they can no longer live in their home.
It's insane.
Think about the millennial who's looking to buy their first home, and they average out their monthly income and things like that and figure out, you know, we can afford to buy this home for $100,000 or whatever the case may be. But then when they have to factor in what the property taxes are, they realize, well, they're not going to be able to afford to live in the home. So point one is we have to reform an appraisal system. The way the appraisal system works in the state of Texas for property owners, for homeowners, is that they are able to jack up your appraised value by 10% per year. By God, they're going to try to get every penny from you by doing exactly that. And there is no limit on businesses of what they can increase the property taxes by.
Oh my God.
And so the cost of what you're paying for your goods and things like that that you may buy somewhere is going up a whole lot because property taxes of the seller is going up so much. But point one, we want to reform the appraisal system. Point two, we want to use state money to buy down your property tax rate so that we will lower the amount of property taxes that you pay. And then point three, we need to close the back door to prevent taxing authorities from being able to come back in and raise your property taxes back up. That's why people have seen in the news that the Texas Senate has already passed out and the Texas House soon will pass out limits on the ability of taxing authorities to raise your property tax rates. We are going to hammer down property taxes in Texas.
Thank you for that. Okay. Do you have time? Could I hold you over for 1 minute and then come back on it? Because I want to talk to you about what's happening to our state. I think, I mean, there, you know,
let me,
there's
let me a, get you ask me, Glenn, I gotta get to the Capitol. I got some
okay.
business I gotta take
Can
care
you
of there. Ask me a question real quick and I'll answer.
I am very concerned. Texans are not aware of the efforts to flip us blue. And we are close to losing this state. It feels. Am I just feeling something that's not happening?
No, it's true. Obviously, the elections got close this past year with the Beto effect. But part of the Beto effect was the fact that he raised $80 million. He was able to spend that money on getting people to register to vote and go vote who had never voted before. And so what we are working is to counter that by making sure we get conservatives out to vote and get them registered. And so, we understand that if we lose Texas, we lose the United States of America.
We do.
There will be no other Texas for people to go to, and this is worth fighting for. And so we are going to work every single day to make sure we fight to keep Texas the conservative bastion of the United States of America.
Governor, God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
We have a fabulous new game show, Glenn. It's called, Is It David Duke or Amy Schumer? Which one is it? It's going to be very difficult for the audience to come up with these answers. And that's why we brought in an expert. It has nothing to do with neither one of us wanting to read a bunch of David Duke quotes so we can be taken out of context and we don't care about Jeffy. It's Jeff Fisher!
Congenial host.
You know, I don't think this is fair to say, is it David Duke or Amy? It should be, is this David Duke or somebody just as bad as David Duke?
Right, because that's the thing. They're saying Kate Smith is as bad as the racist of that day because she sang the song, which was a parody.
It was a satire. It was satire.
To show that racists were dumb, essentially.
Right.
So we brought in Jeffy, and again, it has nothing to do with not wanting to be on
his
record.
His career is completely expendable.
Some people have said that. welcome, Jeffy.
Thank you.
The host of this game that Glenn has given a brand new, very clunky title to.
David Duke. Or someone just as bad as David Duke.
All right. So you're going to read the lines. Now, I happen to know these, Glenn. I've heard this particular Amy Schumer bit. But I'm curious to know if you can actually tell. I think some of them are going to be difficult.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Is this David Duke or someone
just as bad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are the Asian people laughing? I can never tell.
Well, seeing that it's from, talking about laughing, I would say that it's someone just as bad as David Duke.
Oh,
yeah. Amy Schumer.
Do we have Amy Schumer audio?
Are the Asian people laughing? I can never tell.
Wow.
They all
look alike and they don't make facial expressions. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, that's someone just as bad, I'll tell you that, David Duke.
Thank you.
And I hope the future generations realize
that. We all know how bad David Duke is, but we don't realize there are other people just as bad as David Duke. Question number two.
Now who's the wetback?
Wow. Again, this is why we have Jeffy reading these lines.
David Duke?
Oh.
David Duke, do we have Amy Schumer audio on that line?
He's Hispanic, so he's like, now who's the wetback? I'm like, hey!
Oh, no, that was Amy Schumer.
Somebody just as bad.
Just as bad.
As David Duke. Next one.
Really bad. I think that white people were, no question, the creators of what we call white America.
Ooh, is that David Duke or someone just as horrible as David Duke?
Say that again, because that one's tough. Say it again.
I think that white people were, no question, the creators of what we call white America.
Oh, I think, does it have to be in a comedy routine? Because that sounds like Amy Schumer.
Do we have Amy Schumer of that line?
Oh, that's David Duke. Doesn't that sound like
something? It
does. I mean, that sounds like something they would say. Yeah, white America definitely built what we would call white America.
It could have been. Yeah, that could have been a serious policy statement from Amy Schumer.
So it was either Amy Schumer trashing being racist against white people or David Duke being racist against people of other color.
This is an incredibly confusing game show.
It really is.
Back to our host, Jeff Fisher.
Of course you know the miracle of AIDS. We all do. It's the only disease that turns fruits into vegetables.
Wow, is that bad? I don't think even Amy Schumer would have said that. But that isn't a joke
form.
It
is a joke form.
Yes, it is.
Your final answer, sir.
David Duke.
David Duke. Do we have Amy Schumer audio of that one? Ooh, you're correct. David Duke. Nice work. Nice work.
Wow.
So, my best friend is black. She's teaching me how to freestyle rap, and I'm teaching her how to freestyle swim.
That is Amy Schumer. Play the audio.
And my best friend is black in this story. And
in this story.
She's awesome. She's a comedian. And it's cool. She's been teaching me how to, freestyle rap, which I'm kind of good at. And I've been teaching her how to freestyle swim, so.
See, and it's okay that the audience laughed at that today, but will it be okay in the future? I think we need to identify with cell phone technology everyone who's in the audience laughing at these.
Yeah,
I think
if you're
that's
laughing
important.
At that, it's sad. It's a sad statement. You think that all white people freestyle swim and all black people freestyle rap. You're clearly a racist.
It's an interesting take on that, but yes, okay. All right, next up, Jeff Fisher, the host of this fabulous game show.
Get back in the kitchen. Those dishes aren't going to do themselves.
That is something that David Duke absolutely said, but I bet Amy Schumer also said it.
Well, let's hear. Do we have Amy Schumer audio?
Get back in the kitchen. Those dishes aren't going to do themselves.
Talking about Hispanics, saying
it
they need to
does
get into
sound
the
like
kitchen.
Something, even as the host, it does sound like something David Duke would have said.
Yeah, because that's just a straight racist line, right? Yeah. Like, hey, Hispanics.
I didn't know it was about. I thought it was about women.
Oh, no. It's about Hispanics.
It's about Hispanics.
Yes. Because you see, Hispanics
David
do
Duke
dishes, according to Amy Schumer, when we take out the context of what she's actually doing here. And I think this is great, because when they build all of the Amy Schumer statues that are clearly coming, when that happens, we can all revisit this in 50 years and tear them all down.
Good thing there's never going to be a statue of Amy Schumer.
I'm so sick and tired of hearing about slavery. You think slavery didn't exist in Africa, even Indian tribes?
Hmm. That's David Duke. That's David Duke.
And do we have Amy Schumer audio? You are correct again, Glenn. You're pretty good at this game. You seem to know these racist things very well.
That's a different game show.
Okay.
Is the game show contestant also just as bad as David Duke? Thanks very much, Jeffy. By the way, you can get Jeffy.
Yes.
Chewing the Fat.
Podcast, Chewing the Fat.
Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, available where all podcasts are. I can't believe we didn't get to the line about Mexicans and their work habits. Do we have that one? It would be the fourth clip on our list from Amy Schumer. Tell me, is this David Duke or Amy Schumer? Would you know when you heard this line if it was just read to you?
I mean, nothing works 100% of the time, right? Except Mexicans. Oh, ew, right? Ew, Mexicans.
Yeah, really?
Wow.
Taken
out of context, which is what they've done to me on multiple occasions, taken me out of context. They just did it to me last week. You take things out of context and it's bad. But we're not playing that game because taken out of context, you've already decided, America, by letting these things stand, you've already decided that you'll just go along with it. So whoever they want to sweep up, and believe me, Amy, they will come for you eventually. They will. They will come for you. I mean, they're already eating their own. They don't even have power yet. And they're already kicking people out of the club. What do you think's going to happen to you? You make one wrong move, you're out. So good luck to you. We, by the way, as conservatives, welcome you to do your comedy and any comedy you want to do anywhere. I may not pay for it. I may not enjoy it myself, but I stand by your right to do it any place you can draw an audience.
You'll never find us outside protesting.
Never.
Trying to throw pies at you.
Never.
Trying to stop you from speaking at college.
Which one's the fascist? Which one's the fascist? The one that says, hey, book the theater, go, make as much money as you want, tell any joke you want. Or the ones that say, you can't say that. How dare you say that? I'm going to protest, I'm going to picket, and I'm going to burn every book that you've ever. Hello, which one's the fascist? Huh.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.